Maybe the slopes are slippery, but herons get thrown back into the fishery. Maybe the blocks can calm down for a second. The tiniest big tent most could imagine, with an outsized opinion of every decision. False tenant within the 9.2s and the 9.7s. We debate who's in, who's out, who gets to heaven. Got the gospel of Jesus preached on Sunday morning, mostly not afraid to reform. I heart PCA, die hard PCA.
Welcome to IHeart PCA. This is a podcast where we are looking into the Presbyterian Church of America. We also talk about other PCAs sometimes. This season we have. I am with my very good friend, one of my best friends, Justin Edgar. What's up, Justin?
What's up, dog? Long time no talk.
Yeah, we haven't recorded an episode in a while. And also, you're sitting in an unusual place for you.
I am. I'm outside today.
How come?
Well, it's not winter. So even though we're running these episodes and we're coming to the end of the season, right? Like the last time we recorded was like February. So it's good to be outside.
Yeah. And you live on a golf course.
I do. Yeah. It's a beautiful day.
And you're eating on camera while we're recording.
Can you hear this?
Crunchy? I can't hear it. Yes. Crunchy, crunchy.
Okay, I'll stop.
Okay. Drinking on camera is okay, but eating maybe not so much. Maybe Jell-O would work, but you know, crunchy Jayden, things, not as much.
Jayden's big pet peeve is like, oh, golf ball just flew in my yard, Doug. That one's a big hit.
Yeah. I know a guy who was playing golf. Someone yelled four. He turned around and got hit in the mouth.
Whoa.
Hey, remember how we're not eating?
You can't hear this, so it's cheese.
Okay. I can see it. Okay, this is fascinating. I'm so glad we're talking about eating and golf balls. But this is...
I got hit by a golf ball. Did you know that?
You got hit by a golf ball?
I did.
Where?
Here. Right down the... Right on the hole, like closest to my house.
Where on your body?
Luckily, it was like in the meaty part of my muscular calf. So we were letting a guy play through. He was a single in a cart, and we were walking. And so, and he played from the back tee. So we just, you know, he's from playing from the back tees. He's going to be a good player. So we just got off to the side, and he yanked it and hit it right at us. And I tried to jump out of the way, but got me right in the calf. I'm glad I wasn't hired, but I might not be here for the show today.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad you survived the golf ball incident. We are talking about season two. This is the recap of season two. We have recorded, this will be the 29th episode. There's a possibility we might even do one, and there's another possibility we might do two more if it comes through. But... this could be the end of it. 29 episodes in season two. How does that strike you?
It was surprising to me, Doug, that we did that many, to be honest. Yeah. But the way we did it, because it was so spaced out in our recording, it was hard to keep track, to be frank.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? Do you think it was that many? I'm sure you did, because you do all the work. I just show up.
I keep track. We had three other ones that... we'll have to get to next season, but that was right whenever we were struggling. mm-hmm. we were running on fumes. And so we mostly just did a few more after that. But okay, I think 29 is a lot. You just think, if you listen to this, you had over half of a year of weekly podcasts from us. I think people That's might true. Be sick of us for a while.
That's true. I think you're right.
I know one guy in Missouri is, but we'll get to that later. Mm-hmm. So let's just talk for a second about how this has gone through. You know, we started in recording in April 2020, right after the pandemic started. And our first episode was with Mike Kanjan, and that came out in May 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a long time ago. It's been 2 years ago, but...
Yeah. It was a long
time. And then this season has been a lot different because, well, I've had a bit of life change.
You have?
As you know. And we started, I remember we were recording because I was in Ithaca at Steve Froelich's house. He was out of town. Right. And we were staying at their Airbnb, but I was in Ashland's house. And that's when we recorded the El Paso guys, Greg Johnson and Tom Gibbs.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we are in the 1st of June in our real time. And these will roll out till mid-July or so.
Right.
What's happened in your life since we started this season? I know one thing.
Well, my daughter graduated from high school. Is that that's the one thing, I'm guessing? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
It's not just your daughter. It's Jaden, who's one of our favorite iHeartPCA guest appearances. She's written two songs. She's a superstar. Tell everybody about her graduation speech.
Yeah, so Jaden was valedictorian of her class here at Manzano High School. You know, what's crazy about her class is maybe just the evidence of both the school that she went to, but also the pandemic. She started with like 660 students and ended with 220. Wow. And but she managed to be valedictorian of her class, which was really great. And so she was honored to do a speech. And she talked about this idea of don't forget to remember. That's her kind of was her theme, and kind of telling students about talking about nostalgia, the temptation to think of high school as something that it wasn't. and so don't forget to remember what it actually was, especially for these students who, you know, lived through pandemic. We're online for a full year, lost a lot of students and friends. So, it was good. It was a great speech. She did really well.
You sent that to me on a text, and I was like, oh, yeah, okay. My friend Justin, his daughter. I love Jaden. I'll watch it, and then I'll just tell him. And I was blown away at how good it was. It was excellent. I mean, so it was really exactly poignant. At the moment, and profound what she said. So I know you're proud of her, but what's she doing next?
She decided to stay here at the University of New Mexico, and so she got accepted at the Honors College here, and she's going to go through that process of like Honors College is kind of like a liberal arts degree. They don't really have a lot of those at most like state schools. So she was thinking communications for the same reason. She wanted kind of a broader, because she'll probably do something post that. So she's going to live off campus, and all of her school is pretty much paid for. So pretty great. Yeah. Happy for her.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I joined a new gym, and because I joined, I got 3 visits with a personal trainer or whatever, and he was going through the intake today and asking me about, you know, all the stuff, blood pressure and goals, and one of his questions was, are you stressed or anxious? And you know what I said, Justin?
You said no.
I said no.
That's right. First time in a while.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Our listeners sort of know. We try not to do this every time, but it has just been a crazy, crazy, crazy year. And sometimes you need change. And I love City Prez and Oklahoma City, and they're going to be in really good hands. In fact, they have a new pastor coming. His name is Jason Chu. He's moving from Philly. He was born in around Houston, I think, and he's Chinese American. Hmm. That's super, super cool how God works. And I just had to get out of the way so they can get a non-white pastor. Praise the Lord. And then I'm really enjoying, as you know, we've talked about Baltimore and the things I'm getting to do and working on this publishing business. And Julie's happy and Cal's doing better. And so it's just been better than I could have thought, actually.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good change.
Good change, yeah.
What's the best thing that you, besides the family stuff, and like what's the best thing about being in Baltimore or about the change?
Oh, I don't know about the best. I'm walking to baseball games. I'm going to go to 2 this week. That's incredible. Meeting interesting people from all over the world, really.
What about the place you go almost like your version of Cheers?
I listen to live music every night. And so, and then I hang out at this place called Solancha, and I try not to tell people that I'm a pastor. But they figure it out sometimes. I joined a cornhole league. I'm next to the water.
You're going to be a pro cornhole player.
No. Yeah.
That's the aspiration is pro cornhole. At least my aspiration for you.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to work on it. I'm growing vegetables on my deck. I walk around and it's great. Doing yoga.
So that's like a pretty big change, right? Like the fact that you're not that Baltimore necessarily is considered the most walkable city or something in America, but comparison to Oklahoma City, which is highly non-walkable, built on oil and gas.
It got a little better in the 10 years I was there, but yeah, it's not easy to walk around Oklahoma at all. Mm-hmm. But like Cal, my son, sometimes doesn't drive his car for 3 weeks.
Pretty good right now, Doug.
That's right.
I got 6 cars in my family right now. And paying for the gas on those 6 cars, that's a small fortune.
Been there. Always good to offload a couple of those. Mm-hmm. Well, when we think back on season 2, what are some of the themes that come to mind that we ended up talking about? We didn't really plan themes, but several of them kept coming up.
I wasn't expecting the theme question, Doc. I was expecting like best episodes, ones you remember the most. I don't know.
Okay, remember we had a PK theme that seemed to crop up a lot.
More, did.
We had several people that we interviewed that we didn't even know they were PKs.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That was a surprising twist. Lots of writers, Doug. We had lots of people who have written, are in the process of, or have written recent books, as well as lots of writers, actually. It's a big thing. A lot of heads of like different ministries in the PCA, church planning and M&A and MTW. Those were good.
Yeah, we had our first ever siblings on at the same time.
We did.
We had Ashley Hales. We had Bryce on last season. We had Maria Garriott and Chuck Garriott, who aren't married, but Maria's married to Chuck's brother. And I eventually want to have Craig and Chris on at the same time and just get that done. And I've got another siblings in my head that maybe we'll do next year. So those are fun. What were some of your favorites that stood out to you?
I mean, Steve Froelich was like interesting. And Steve has such a, you know, he's been a pastor for a long time and been in the same place for a long time. And I know your relationship with him, but we also have lots of connections to him and to Cornell. I thought he was fun. But I know Dan Doriani's, like, for a lot of people, he was one of the favorite guests that we had on. Like, I've had lots of people comment to me about Dan, and then have started listening to Dan's podcast because they loved it so much.
He knows this one.
He does. Yeah.
Have you listened to the Doriani one?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Did you notice I cut some things out that he said?
I did. Yeah.
We won't talk about that. Chris Accardi, that one keeps on coming up too.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a profound one. And I think it's, that one's really cool because I don't think most people know who he is. And he is an amazing person and pastor and nurse. And so I've had several people mention Chris Accardi. And then I had several people mention they really appreciated Greg Johnson because I got to hear from him instead of just about him. I thought that was good.
That was like one of our first ones.
Yeah, I think that was, two or three.
Yeah, I had several people talk to me about how they appreciated hearing from Greg and just in his own words and voice. And they really liked that pod quite a bit. I thought it was good to hear from like Wendy also because of what, with the Marcella podcast and how popular that was and the kind of broader world and her personal firsthand experience of some of that was really good. And I think it tied in well with you know, the release of our own report that we interviewed in season one, you know, Rachel, and to have that come out this, you know, just last couple weeks ago. That was good.
Yeah. Well, what do you think we should do for season three, or just cancel the whole reboot? What's your sense?
Did you hear that Ted Lasso is only going to have 3 seasons? I was pretty discouraged about that. So
it's like, you know, the English Office. There was only 2.
Right. No, I didn't care for the English Office. The regular Office was way better. I think we should keep going, Doug. Like, we need at least as many seasons as Ted Lasso.
Okay. Well, then we need to think about who else we want to talk to, and maybe our listeners could make some suggestions, right? Who they're interested in. We like to vary up with heads of organizations or presidents or book writers and other people that we think are super cool that we want people to know about it. So, you know, if you're going to suggest things to us listeners, keep that in mind, that we want to be able to discover in the PCA and tell people, like the El Paso pastors. That was amazing because we got to tell people about their ministry. I remember last season, Wayne Sparkman, I loved that episode with Wayne. And so, you know, just if you have somebody interesting, this would be a little bit like the By Faith, that we're trying to find these places that we don't know. We also talk to our friends, and sometimes I know somebody and you don't, and sometimes you know somebody and I don't.
Yeah, that's true. One of the interesting things about that too, Doug, is that you know, Chuck Isaac, who is helping, you know, head up the El Paso Border Initiative, and when he heard our pod with Megan Fowler and how Megan was requesting like stories in a similar way like we are requesting things now, Chuck reached out to Megan, and Megan's going to do a follow-up with him down the pipe. And so, yeah, maybe expand the reach of like, who knows about that? I mean, we do have like over like millions of followers, so I don't know how much more the reach can be expanded, but you know, By faith, it's good.
Yeah, that's great. Who are some of the guests that you didn't like very much?
I don't think you can say that, Doug. Won't have any more guests on our pod.
Well, there weren't any. I was just kidding. Just kidding. They were all so good and so different, right? And
yeah. My dogs are whining.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, Justin, we need to talk about our PCAs.
We do.
I think it's pretty clear that we started with the Porsche Club of America. Like, I didn't think that through. I had a big, long list, and I just started with the first one I could find, and that was turned out to be a mistake. So I'm sorry about that. But that was our highest rated one, all the way up to 90. We both gave that one a 45.
Yeah.
So that is rather amazing. I was just looking at their website again today. It's pca.org, and there was an ad for, I think it's for selling, buying and selling Porsches. And it said, it's a great hobby without any of the snobby.
Not sure that's true.
I'm not sure you just get to say that, right? Great hobby without any of the snobby. So what are some of the ones?
Accentuate their snobby, actually, because that's actually what they really are, is they're snobby. Right. I mean, yeah. My favorite one besides the Porsche Club is the Professional Caddies. You didn't love that one as much as me, but I loved it because I've had some caddies in my life and enjoy the game.
Oh, yeah. You gave that one a 45.
I did.
Wow. I gave that one a 20. I don't remember why. So we got a 65, middle of the pack. There were. Most of them were 70s and 60s. There were a few bottom, really bad ones. And we offered to help, but no one's reached out to us yet.
No, I can't believe that.
One of them got 15, Patch Check Advanced.
That one was really bad. Did you tell our listeners about the message that we got sent this week about someone saying we should investigate the Packaging Corporation of America? Is that what it was?
Oh, we already did, but we had that. Sometimes we get people text us different PCA logos on their boxes or wherever, and that's always nice. I don't know what to do with it, but you probably get people texting you pictures of roosters all the time, too.
I do. That is true, all the time.
Okay, were there any weird ones that you liked, even though you didn't give them a high rating? Like Plasticville, for example?
No, you loved Plasticville.
Well, I gave it a 22, and you gave it a 20.
Yeah, but you liked it. Like, yeah, I remember you being, wanting to like it even more.
Mm-hmm. You really liked People's Choice Awards. Give that a 43.
Yeah because I mean I think it has a more worldwide appeal than most PCAs, including our own.
The Professional Chess Association got a 78.
That's right. You get your money house, your chess museum of, what is it, the Chess Hall of Fame. Like, that's one of your stomping grounds, Doug.
Well, you were with me the only time I went.
That's the only time you went. I don't believe that.
It is. I've never been that before.
It's right there by the Gamble House. That's a favorite place of yours.
Yeah, but that place shut down.
Oh,
I wasn't
COVID,
there the
right?
last time I was there.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Sad.
Super sad. So is there any of these PCAs that are better than our PCA? I guess that's the question we were asking.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Justin, let's talk about our PCA for a little bit.
Okay.
Before we answer that question, I think there's only way to answer it is if we talk about our PCA. How do you think we're going right now?
Mm. Well, we like to talk about what's beautiful and believable in the PCA.
We've been doing that.
There's lots of that. So I'll continue to say that that's true.
Yeah.
But there's also some things, not as much.
That's putting it mildly. I'm pretty discouraged about it.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was good for us to ask people to give advice.
Mm-hmm.
And most people gave good advice, but I'm not sure they all gave their actual thing they wanted to say. And I'm discouraged because I feel like we're fighting a lot more than ever. I don't know. I haven't been around, but I've been in PCA now for 22 years. That's not nothing. And I've never seen anything like this. Right. Now, it's true socially, politically. I think social media has something to do with it. But it just seems like it's gotten ugly, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Arthur Brooks wrote a couple books about things related to this. Arthur's, you know, he called himself a conservative, but he said that we're not just in an outrage culture, but we're addicted to outrage. And he gives this really great kind of connection with, you know, when you're an addict of any sort, there's this inherent shame loop that you get stuck in, and you become addicted, not really even to the alcohol as much as to the shame loop or to the thing. The shame loop is the thing that you're most addicted to. And he goes, that's what's happened to us with outrage. Like we're being fed it. We know we shouldn't want it. Like we get up in the morning and go, oh, I hate that. I hate that. I hate this. I hate that we're always fighting. I hate that this discontent I feel. But then we open up our, you know, whatever it is that feeds it, and we can't stop feeding it, you know, because we're just addicted to it. And everybody feeds that addiction. And that's true in I think in the PCA is that we have become addicted to outrage, and it swings both ways. Like we get outraged about all the things, and then the thing that feeds that, we can't stop it. I can't quit you, outrage. Like mm-hmm. right.
Mm-hmm.
And the most discouraging part to me about that is that I feel like we just mimic the culture. We're not changing the culture. We're not providing something, beautiful and believable to a culture that's addicted to outrage. We're just in lockstep dancing with it. And that's the discouraging part to me. And I don't necessarily know how to stop it. I think our little podcast is attempting to do that in some ways. And we try to talk about the things that are beautiful. There's something about that, right?
Yeah, I think that's important that what we're doing. But I noticed in my own heart that I don't take that posture all the time at all.
True.
And it's hard to know how much to engage in the conversation because it doesn't really feel like a conversation. Mm-hmm. And then it feels like you're pushed into either shout matching, rage blogging, social media posting, or nothing.
Yeah.
Like I'm out. And I just feel like there has to be more a middle ground, but we're just like the culture, like you're saying, are polarized in our little tiny denomination where we have so much in common.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing when you just stop and write down all the things we agree on. It's a long list, right?
Right.
A really long list. I mean, thousands of things. And I feel like we're arguing about 10 things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it feels like one
mm-hmm.
or two. And we're saying this is the most important thing. And this is the tipping of the slippery slope. And we are going downhill.
Mm-hmm.
I think the PCA isn't going downhill, but I think we could push ourselves over the hill.
Very easily, Doug, right? Very easily. Kurt Thompson talks about, Kurt's written several books on the brain and shame and all this stuff. But Kurt talks about how we, when we're not feeling secure or safe, we resort to fight, flight, or freeze. And I like what you described as that, Doug, like we hear something, read something, see something, and then the response is, you know, we get hyper aware and we start fighting or we just shut down. And I think the question for the PCA is how can we remain in a kind of secure place, like attached in the right kind of ways with one another, without resorting to those other kind of ways of regulating ourself as an institution or an organization. Like every time there's something we hear about, and this goes, again, swings both ways, whatever side of the spectrum you might find yourself or in, even in the middle, like how do you respond when those things come, when you get the email or the message or you see something online, like what's your propensity to regulate yourself, to like bring yourself back to the level. And most of us just like go to those two places. We fight or we just withdraw. And the question is, how can we press in and find a secure and safe place to dwell together? And I think it is partly like in what we believe, but it's not just that. Like there has to be something more to attach us than just the postulates of what we believe. That's part of it, but not all of it, right?
Yeah, because this goes back to our conversation with Esther Meek, that all truth is actually relational.
That's right.
And so if you're going to detach relationship and think that you have this like Aristotelian view of whatever it is, that's not how truth works. And that's really hard for some people to understand. And I think different personalities reject that more than other personalities. And, you know, also some people, personalities or online personalities are different than their actual. I'm assuming, you know, hey, I don't know if you know this, people don't like us.
Justin. No.
People don't like you. I know people don't like me.
Nah.
You're a far nicer person than I am. I'm much more of a rascal than you are, but
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah. So like, can we be in relationship with each other, even though we disagree? That sounds so basic, but we're just having a hard time doing it.
We are. I think the press for us, like just to be self-critical for a moment, like I think we should be more thoughtful of, you know, not being provocative for provocative sake, you know, like understanding the ways that can make people who have difficulty with that. I think that that's a way for us to not be safe to certain people because we can seem or say things too off the cuff or not, you know, more empathetic to the I don't want to say side necessarily because it's varying degrees, but to other folks that might find what, you know, we think or feel or believe in seems to be a little bit more too provocative at times. And I think we should be careful about that, be empathetic towards people in that regard. Because I think that's part of it. Like we all have responsibilities in the PCA, both wherever we fall, to be secure. And a lot of that, what you said is true. It comes through knowing, like knowledge, getting closer to each other, not basing it on offline or even this podcast, but like getting to know people. And our podcast stresses that, like, we're trying to reach people that maybe you may not have heard of in the PCA. So you might know who they are, but it's still a public kind of thing. Local, regional, getting to know each other. I think that's super powerful in overcoming and being empathetic. And we've had some guests that, you know, look at things differently than us on both sides.
I think we need to do better on our podcast of having more guests that don't agree with us on a lot of stuff. If we're going to say we want to be beautiful and believable in the PCA, I care about those guys, but we got to give them some space with us too.
True.
But I also think, you know, I've been talking about this a little bit, is you and I are both in the missional camp, which is almost always a derogatory label. But we get lumped in with Tim Keller, at least. That's pretty good, I think.
Definitely.
But when you're in that mindset in camp, and I was raised this way at Covenant Seminary, along with all the doctrine and all that stuff, right? We were, you know, encouraged at least to press into cultural spaces to win people to Jesus or to have a relationship with non-Christian. I'm not saying that was super unique, but when you do that more than what people are comfortable of, you can make mistakes.
Yeah.
And so I think, number one, people that don't do that as much or as publicly or as officially, I'm not saying they don't do it at all, but like their church might not host a secular concert in their building, right?
Right.
Well, they need to trust us to say, yeah, okay, well, we are doing that and we're on the same team,
mm-hmm.
right? On the same page. And then we need to say like, yeah, that didn't go so hot. That mm-hmm. one was, there are boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that happened at that concert or at that event or at that, you know, engagement wasn't okay. And I just don't think we say that often enough. And so that gets people looking around, trying to find those things. And that's a part of the social media thing, is like everybody is watching everybody more than they used to. I don't watch them, but I know I get watched. Who watches the watchers? The watchmen.
Have you remember that old 80s song, Ray Parker Jr., before he did Ghostbusters, he sang a song, "I always feel like somebody's watching me."
Mm-hmm.
And the video is like old school, like it's early on in videos, but he's in a shower. He's like, you know, showering off, and he keeps like looking, thinking somebody's like watching him or outside the shower curtain.
Creepy.
Yeah. I don't think we want that kind of McCarthyism around, but I think we do, like, I think what you said is right. That's true. It's good, Doug.
Well, I know I've made lots of mistakes. I mean, I can admit that easily,
mm-hmm.
but that's not neither here nor. We should have a mistakes episode.
We should.
Hey, it was special guest star, Deacon.
You say hi, Doug.
Say hey, Doug.
Hey, Doug.
What's up? Good to see you.
He says, "What's up? Good to see you." Tell him where you're going.
To the pool for a swim lesson.
Awesome. Are you taking Bianca?
Are you taking Bianca with you to the pool?
No.
No.
Oh, she only likes to ride bikes.
Yeah. I'm not taking a pillow. Bye, Doug. Love you.
Love you.
Okay. Last thing here. We don't want to keep everybody too long, but I mentioned this on a Facebook post, but I was looking at our reviews on Apple Podcasts, Justin, and they're nearly all very positive. We have 4.7 out of 5. Almost everyone gives us 5 stars. That's nice, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Of 47 ratings, I'd like to see 47,000 ratings, of course.
Right.
But hey. But you know what? This is connected to our just previous topic. Someone gave us a 2-star, and I'm happy to get a 2-star, right? People need to be honest.
Sure.
This podcast is not for everybody. As hard as that is, Justin.
Yeah.
But I wanted to read this out loud so that we could all know. Missional edgy Gen Xers will love it. Well, what do you think that's true?
Well, we are missional, edgy, and Gen Xer, so maybe it's true. I don't know.
I don't know how to make anything else except for that, right? Yeah, we want to do conservative, spirituality of the church, boring boomers, or millennials? I don't understand millennials very good. Well, I'd probably do a little of them. Okay, yeah. Here it goes. The music is abhorrent.
That's like personal, Doug.
That's the one right there. Now, I think people know that I do these songs partly just to make you laugh.
Yeah, there's an irony to any of them? Music.
What?
Yeah, there's an irony to the music.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a serious, there's serious and there's ironic. Yeah.
And also, I pay for these on Fiverr, and I don't pay very much, so I don't want to ask whoever does it to do it again. Right. They get one shot, and I always tell them, it's fine. No matter how you do it, it's going to be totally fine. They mispronounce words. They don't know what they're saying, which is funny, right? I throw in weird lyrics that don't have anything to do with the PCA. You know, I like my oatmeal lumpy and my Calvinist grumpy. That's pretty good.
It's like good 80s, you know, there's some good like 80s rap, you know, kind of stuff to it. Like there was a version of rap that was very like, you know, not great on the depth of lyric, but yeah. Just like fun, rhyme centric, like, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
And there was a Korean rap, which was awesome.
Amazing.
PCA country songs. Now that was a different little genre that I threw in there. And that was like depression, I'm about to leave Oklahoma project.
Right.
And I tried to keep them similar to the song and keep it in the realm of what it was. But then I could probably do another 1,000. So I had to stop.
You did. You can keep going.
We'll see what happens. And then, so the topics have little to do with loving the PCA. A couple of the guests were okay, but most are just as bland, as boring as the hosts.
Wow.
I don't know about that. And then he finishes, did I mention he or she? I don't know. It says, Mo Prez Listener wrote this on January 3rd. Of 2022. And I'm assuming, you know, this person didn't listen to more of them. But did I mention how terrible the music is? So Moprez PCA or Moprez Listener would love to get you on the show. Right, Justin?
Right. Come on, bro. Bring it.
Come on, bro. You can be one of the boring, bland guests.
Gen Xers forever. I'm reading Chuck Klosterman's book called The 90s, and he spends, you know, he is a Gen Xer, and he spends a great, early in the book, first chapter particularly is all about, you know, the title, how we arrived at Gen Xers, and that's great. Like, there's no better generation, Doug, than Gen Xers. There's no better decade than the 80s, which led into the 90s. Like, come on, bro. We ain't separating from that.
No. Gen Xers don't get the credit they should, that's for sure.
Amen.
I like Chuck Klosterman. I haven't read his stuff in a while. I read his last one. It was about weird theories and about the... There was a chapter at least about... There's this theory that the Middle Ages or the Dark Ages were made up and that in around, I don't know, 600, they were trying to get to 1,000. And so they just wiped out and they just made up stuff. And then they were at 1,000, but they were really at 600. So that's why you don't have any of this data. Have you heard that?
I have. Yeah.
It's weird, he writes about it. And then, you know, his early first stuff were amazing. I got to hear him speak at OU one time and it was just incredible.
He's a big, he's a big Cowboy fan. But he's also a Celtic fan.
He's also a Canadian football fan.
Oh, really? Like right up your alley there, Doug. This book on the 90s, we're reading it for our book club. I think it's going to be a fun interesting read. So, you know, he was really big on Rolling Stone at that time in the 90s. So I'm sure he'll have lots of great takes on music and different cultural things. He's just a really good cultural commentator.
Yeah. So I'll get it because I started reading again. I didn't read for at least 18 months. And I'm usually a voracious reader and I just didn't want to and couldn't. So I stopped. And now I'm picking up books again. Because I'm not stressed and anxious.
That's great, man. I read your one of your favorites, East of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
We read that for our last book club. We read it solely on your recommendation. No, I liked it. It's he won the Pulitzer, maybe even the Nobel Prize for Literature for that book. It's an important book. And really interesting when you think about the biblical themes and stuff that are present in it. So it's good.
Tim Schell.
He's wrong about Tim Schell, but I know. It's good. Yeah. It's still good. I was really surprised out of like 12 guys who are in my book club, like 9 of them read it all. I was super impressed by that. So yeah.
It's got a real bad guy who's not a guy. She's really bad.
Bad. She's bad. Yeah, we were comparing her to the Cormac McCarthy, to the judge as like all-time evil character.
Well, that's saying something. He wrote that book in the 40s.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And 52, I think.
52, and he has this really bad, terrible woman evil character who, like you're saying, is up there. Like, it's shocking how bad she is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we wasted enough people's time.
Wait. Before you go, have you watched the Gen X movie 36 years later, Top Gun, Maverick? Yeah.
I haven't gone out and seen it yet. My daughter's, Anna, is coming. And I have several things that she said to save. That's one of them. Stranger Things is one of them. I think there was something else. So I think she just wants to spend the whole visit in front of screens.
Great.
But I haven't watched it yet.
I wish you had, because then we could talk about it. So maybe we should just have a podcast where we talk about Gen X, some Gen Xer stuff for our critical listener, and talk just about Maverick.
Press into the boring, bland Gen Xer missional thing.
Man, that movie is so great. I can't wait for you to see it.
Okay. Well, I will see it and we can talk about it. Maybe not on the podcast, but maybe, you never know. We could throw in some bonus for people that actually enjoy hearing us talk.
Especially about sports and pop culture. Like, those are things we like to talk about.
Yeah. Well, thanks for this season.
Yeah. Thank you, Doug, for all the work you did.
The production staff had a few missteps, so it turns out fine.
Yeah.
Okay, man. Hey, out there, give us a rating. It could be 1, it could be 2, it could be 3, it could be 4, it could be 5. You can put whatever you want to say on the ratings. You can swamp out this 2. And we want to hear from you, MoPres listener. And we want to hear from everybody.
Yeah.
And then I guess
you like banal and you like beautiful, give us a rating. Right, Doug? Banal and beautiful. Yeah. That's what we're about here at IRPCA.
Till next time, till season 3, or if we have this bonus episode thing crop up, but pretty much till season 3. Peace out. Go PCA. Out, we're praying for you. We want you to succeed, right?
Yeah, man. Let's go PCA.
We need a good General Assembly.
We do.
We need to come together so we can be better than the Porsche Club of America.
Let's go.
We can partner together.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
All right.
Porsche is rented out for the General Assembly. Everybody gets a rental Porsche.
You get a Porsche, you get a Porsche, you get a Porsche, you get a Porsche. All right. See you later.
All right, bro. Later.
Bye.
I just came up from Atlanta. I had the year off at PCA headquarters. I was thinking about the overtures the year before. I'd taken a bit off time, thought I might go on by. Then the reality came flooding in and he closed that door. Forget that weight gain, baby. Everything else matters more. I kept focused on the gray, crashing in the gay. Forget about that weight gain, baby. To keep other issues where you be. Wish I had the heart to kick porn to the end of the chart. I'll skip the slender part. Forget that weight gain, baby. Forget that weight gain, baby. Forget about that weight gain. Well, every time I talk to you, I hear the jealous lies. I feel like I've gotta justify my full-on compromise. And every time I hear rebuke, my phone signs won't fire up. I double down, it's not a crook, my stocks are going up. Forget that weight gain, baby, everything else matters more. I keep focused on the gray, crashing in the gay. Forget about that weight gain, baby, to keep other issues where you be. Wish I had the heart to kick porn to the end of the chart. I'll skip the slender part. Forget that weight gain, baby, forget that weight gain, baby. Forget about that weight gain. When I read on Proverbs 6, I stumble on the list. So I'll start a block and forget my luck, the wolf's within my midst. And every time I think I've got it, the lips will bit them back. I wish the spirit will come true, we'll make that front attack. Forget about that weight gain, baby, everything matters way, way more. Koreans just can pray, they don't do it the right way. Forget about that weight gain, baby, wish I had the heart to kick my porn addiction and I'll keep the slender part. Forget about that weight gain, baby. Forget about that weight gain, baby. Forget about that weight gain. Forget about that weight gain, baby. Forget about that weight gain, baby. Forget about that weight gain.